All right, welcome back to another episode of Kit Season. It is so good to be back. We took a week off, but we have returned. I say we. Brett's not here.
Brett's
but we returned.
Work.
Work. Cruise. Whatever.
That was last week. This week is work.
Yeah. You know, really dragging us down if we're being honest. We're trying to get numbers out here, people. But listen, we are so excited to be here. We got some fun stuff today. But before we get too deep in, we want to go ahead and thank our wonderful patrons, John Hunt, Frank Anthony, Aaron J., Christopher Cohn, Harry Austin, John Fuller, Michael Fuchs, and Joshua Duder. Want to thank y'all. Hey, next Friday, you are going to be getting the brand new show. For everybody else who did not check out the Patreon link and you're like, new show? Check out the Patreon link. There's a little bit of a spoiler in there. And they are going to get the show like 3 days early. And it is super exciting. So check it out. Check out the Patreon. Patreon.com/TheUSLShow. Fox, how you doing, man?
I'm living the life. Just
good.
Just I'm loving it. McDonald's Love has that. Nothing on me.
No. No. Now, I have a question for you.
I have an answer.
Okay. I want you to imagine you have a child. Can you do that?
I have two.
Okay, just one. I only need you to imagine you have one child.
Okay.
Okay. Child walks up to you and says, "Father, I would like to be a goalkeeper." Okay. And you say, "Oh, where do I start? Where do I start with being a goalkeeper?" Right?
Helmet. Now,
helmet. That's a, yeah, Peter Cech, that's always a great place to start. You say, and you look at them and say, "Listen, child, would you like to learn how to be a goalkeeper from a USL champion, someone who was a champion of the biggest league in the world? Would you like to say that?"
I would love to say that personally.
Well, whether you are a seasoned goalie or just starting out, the Prime Focus Goalkeeping President's Day Goalkeeper Clinic is the perfect for honing in your skills and taking your game to the next level. By the way, it's a blast. Our friend Brandon Miller, who of USL Glory, is taking over. He has his gloves. He has the goalkeeping clinic going on. And he says it himself, but he doesn't even have to say it. I'll say it for him. You should go check out the President's Day Clinic if you're around the Southeast or in the Carolinas at all, because he straight up has the best goalkeeping staff in the Carolinas. I'll even say the Southeast. Go ahead and head over to the website, www.primefocusgoalkeeping.com, and learn from a USL champion. If you want to be a part of the greatest league on earth, the biggest league in the world, this is a great way to start.
I know exactly where I'm sending my other son.
Yeah, I mean, you only need to imagine you have one child. Now, the other child now is the striker who gets to take shots at the goalkeeping child. You have a world-class striker and a world-class goalie. You're good.
This is just going to be Italian football at its best. 0-0 at the end.
It's going to be perfect. Well, look. Listen, we are all the way here to talk about one thing and one thing only today, and that is kits. We are here because it is kit season, although where are the kits during the kit season? But we've had some
kit season ever. But I mean, but the best at the same time. Just like the timing's the worst, but like I feel like everything that's been coming out has been amazing.
I mean, some of the stuff that's been generally released has been amazing. Yeah. And if you're wondering if because you can't read the title of the show, why is Kaylor and Fox wearing both Hummel? Because we are being joined by Mark Crosby of at Hummel USA, where he has what looks like Union Omaha and the Lady Electric kits from Birmingham Legion and the scarf that says Community Through Kits. And we will get into Community Through Kits. But first off, Mark, man, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
So just first off, if people don't really know who you are, they've heard the name Hummel USA because Hummel USA is taking over the biggest league in the world. But who are you and what is your role in Hummel USA?
Yeah, I am the technical design manager here. So I am putting a lot of work in getting designs onto paper and then onto fabric and then onto players and onto all you fans. Working with collaborators, team designers, outside designers, freelancers, all that whole list to make these things come to life.
Me, once I sent you all of my designs.
Yeah, I think I missed that email. I'll check the spam folder.
I mean, listen, if you want any of my designs, just know that they will probably just end up being just white t-shirt FC, and that's fine. Sure, I might even pop a collar on there because I'm fancy. Well,
that'd be bold. Clean.
It's a clean design.
Yes. Yeah, that's what we call
Real Madrid all over again.
Yeah, well, there's only one Real, and unfortunately, Hummel USA has not signed them yet.
Yet.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm sure Hummel would love to be on the shirt for Real Madrid, but also there's a little bit of Hummel just saying, here's your white t-shirt you ordered. That would feel a little weird.
Yeah, yeah, that's not really our game.
Well, I mean, just, you know, kind of speaking about your game, just want to know, like, when you get into the design business, when you get into this whole thing that Hummel is, how did you kind of get here? Like getting into building logos, building kits, building brands, essentially. How did you get here?
Yeah. So personally, I started, you know, long, far back as I can remember, you know, with a pencil and paper and then a little bit of MS Paint and some sports logo website on Angel Fire or GeoCities, I'm sure, piqued my interest, and I just was off and running at that point. And I, you know, spent years doing logo and jersey design as nothing but a hobby, you know, just having fun with it. And slowly, quietly got into freelancing and trying to work my way, you know, into doing it for real, and, you know, supporting myself through it.
Gotta pay those bills, right?
Yeah. They just keep coming, those bills. I am from the Madison, Wisconsin area.
That explains a lot.
Found my way into the Flock, the supporters group for Ford Madison FC. A couple of years ago, worked with the Flock. I was part of the team that designed one of the supporters kits. Forward is gracious enough to let the supporters design a kit each year. And I was part of that group, the group that did the striped design with supporters' names in it. And then just last year, again, as part of the Flock, I designed last year's away jersey, the pink, the sunset and smoke jersey. That was well received. The process that we went through was a really good process with Forward. And through that connection, have found my way here with Hummel Pro North America.
That's so cool that you actually talk about that smoke jersey, because that's literally one of our top three from last season.
I'd love to hear it.
So in the rating system. So yeah, you're obviously doing a great job.
I appreciate that.
And our boy Brett has that kid.
It does,
so.
Yeah.
So when you're in the process, like, what is the full process of like developing a brand new kit?
Yeah. So the first step is just connecting with the club, and whether that's you know, GM, coaches, owners, internal designers, whoever they want in the room. Connecting with them and really deciding what their identity is and what they want that identity to be. And then, you know, pitching to them that at Hummel, we're about community through kits. We're about storytelling. Anyone can throw on a white jersey, right? And fans will buy it because they want to support your club. But if you connect with the community and you tell a story through your kits, then we believe that the fans appreciate that. The fans see the importance and the connection to the community, and will be all the happier to be sporting that look. So we connect with the team. We tell that story about telling stories and connecting. And from there, it's, you know, mood boarding and choosing certain elements we want. Things like, you know, Ford Madison has the sash. Maybe that's an element we want to carry across. Telling stories like Lady Electra, where that's something that, you know, for a gold kit, you know, there's not a lot specifically gold in Birmingham. So we found, you know, some gold and told a story through it about power, about ingenuity, and about something that is uniquely Birmingham. So that sort of thing, trying to figure out what those stories are. And from there, in a bigger role, we are trying to figure out ways to connect with the community through collaborations, whether that be a pre-match jersey, an on-the-field jersey, a one-time jersey for things like Pride Month or Juneteenth, things like that. And one thing we want to make sure we do when we make those connections is collaborate with people that can speak in that voice. You know, I'm not going to tell a Juneteenth story,
right?
as well as someone who has different experiences than I do. So we really want to make those connections and connecting with those clubs and getting those feelers out and saying that this jersey design process is important and it's a whole lot larger than just slapping logos on a shirt.
Yeah, especially like a template shirt, like stretch, right. Cool, yeah.
Yeah, that's templates are not something we generally do. and we think, you know, every team deserves something unique and something that they want to wear. So from there, the process, you know, we mood board, I'll come up with, or, you know, outside designers will come up with first draft, a couple of designs. You know, we all get together again, talk them through, figure out what we like, what we don't like, start from the top or run with something we have. And then it's a matter of nailing down those specific designs. And then something that we've really taken a liking to and we feel is important is things that elevate the jerseys. A lot of companies can sublimate now. It's not too hard to get your hands on a sublimating process and get jerseys sewn together. So what we want to do is make sure we have things like authentic badges, like raised ink badges, all kinds of things, rubberized badges, mm-hmm. You know, hidden things within the collar, Easter eggs that you may not see when you buy the jersey, but then you put it on, you're like, oh, I had no idea that it said that. And you really start to learn more about it every time you look at it.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. Especially actually this specific jersey has like a little fox on the inside. Yeah. Like, you know, I can't take my shirt off because it's not that type of show.
But please don't.
But
I wasn't given any warnings.
NC-17. But no, it has all sorts of cool stuff like on the inside, typically where it's just like a tag. Like,
yeah.
It's all sorts of sweet stuff.
Yeah. I mean, we know that people are paying for these jerseys and we want them to feel like they got their money's worth. Right. Yeah, we know that they can be expensive compared to, you know, a t-shirt. But if you're here to support your club should be giving something that you feel is worth it.
Yeah. I want to just go ahead, hop on what Julian asked here. What's your favorite Hummel kit in the USL championship? Or we can broadly go to just the USL in general, or if you want to hit, you know, different ones, because I know, like, yeah, you guys are all across League One, League Two, W League, Championship. Yep. You're everywhere.
Yes, can we say no forward shirt. Madison?
We can say no forward Madison. That works for me. Yeah.
Bias is aside, unless it truly is your favorite.
No, I that would be some homerism. So I'll skip the forward Madison. My favorite child is always the most recent one. So at the moment, the Lady Electra, honestly, I'm super happy with the way that turned out and the way it's been received. And working with Birmingham, this is our first year working with Birmingham. And it's been great. I think y'all are going to see some more fantastic stuff from them as we move along. I can't tell you any more than that at the moment. but no, right now, this is the first kit, that we've had widely released, since I've worked here. So right now that's my favorite.
You know, I kind of want to know, and I want to kind of go back to something that you kind of talked on earlier of doing the research, finding about what is gold in Birmingham. What is a admittedly a dirty, gringy industrial city, right? I mean, it is. It's a steel city that's what it was built on. And
you don't want to do yellow and black. That's been done.
I mean, yeah. So when you're finding the gold around Birmingham and you stumble across Lady Electra, it's always super exciting for people in Birmingham to be like, oh, that's my stuff. And same thing for every other club in the USL and across the world of being like, that's my city. That's my city.
Yeah.
When you're going through that research process, how much time goes there into research? Is it hey, I found this really cool idea and I am going to like, I don't want to say word vomit, but like design vomit, like make something right now while I have inspiration? Or is it like, hey, reel myself in, let's see the options and then put energy into it?
Yeah, I appreciate your use of design vomit. That's something that I definitely do. You know, the come across something or, you know, wake up in the middle of the night and just have an idea. I've got to put it down or I lose it. So in some way or another, whether it's a sketch or hop into Illustrator real quick, when something comes, I like to run. I think, generally speaking, I, as a designer, prefer to trust my gut, when it comes to a design. And I think more often than not, when working with clubs, the sort of the first draft is generally something we always circle back to in some way. I think there's something to be said for just the first thing that jumps out to you is worth pursuing. In terms of the research and how much time goes into that, I wish more. I was a history major in college. No schooling for graphic design. I'm all self-taught there. But as a history major, it's my favorite part. And I truly think it's the research and the anthropology of kits, like, is at least as important as the actual design itself. You don't get the design without the research. And if you do, it doesn't have as much meaning. It's my favorite part of the process, really delving deeply into it. And I couldn't be more grateful to be at a place like Hummel, who also values that.
Nice. Yeah, I actually appreciate the history major part of that.
Hey.
But actually, I mean, this is going to be a good segue, right? Speaking of history,
yeah,
what would you say the history of Hummel is there?
Yeah, so Hummel as a whole, celebrating its 100th year last year, which is awesome. Hummel has been a staple, right? They were first football boots. They were a German company, then purchased by a group in Denmark. They're in Denmark now. They've always been sort of on the leading edge of the storytelling, the community through kits, the things that we came in as Hummel North America really wanted to do. That's a decent idea, Brett. I don't hate that. a series on the history of kits. And I think the thing that stands out most with Hummel and why I absolutely love working with them is their history is, you know, dotted with moments where they took a stance, whether it be the Denmark kits, the most recent World Cup, Pride kits, things like that, where they're putting their money where their mouth is. And yeah, it's not something you see from apparel designers very often.
Right. It's a risky business sometimes.
It is, yeah. And I think, without taking those risks,
there's no reward. And it doesn't change.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, you know, these social stances are at least as important as, you know, putting jerseys out. Putting jerseys out is great. It's a lot of fun. And I get to do cool stuff. But that doesn't mean a whole lot unless we're also doing work in social stances, things like that. And we've got some fun projects coming up that we're looking to pitch to all of our USL clubs, possibly extending outside of USL clubs that kind of go down that line. And so hopefully you'll get to see some of those this year.
Nice.
I want to jump in, and before we hit FSSDCU's question, you know, when you talk about the social side of this, right? You guys have taken on a pretty forefront stance, and it's been great, right? Is there ever, and I don't want to say fear, but I mean, is there ever fear in releasing it and being like, did we maybe misread the room, or is it like a, oh gosh, like what is the backlash going to be? How hard is it going to be? Or is it easier just to say, hey, everybody in this room, we're all on the same page. And as long as we're on the same page, that's all we got.
Yeah, no, that's a great question. I think, first of all, we have a fantastic team here. And the team in Denmark is obviously amazing. And I think there's a lot of trust that, you know, we all align really well in terms of social issues. And on top of that, I think we avoid those fears and worry about overstepping or not representing something accurately by working towards these collaboration pieces and working with people, as I mentioned, who have a voice that we may not necessarily speak in. So I think that's been one of the tools that we use to make sure that, you know, we're accurately representing these social issues instead of just, you know, being a token piece.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I'm gonna go ahead and hit FSS DCU's question. And then Fox will hit the next one. Is there just I'm just going to just kind of expand this. Just a dream club
that
you would just love to do this for. You've already got your Ford Madison. I get it.
Yeah,
like, you know, I don't remember if it was on air or off air, but we already talked about, hey, you could just make white t-shirt for Real Madrid. You could do that. But is there a club that you see their colors, or just one that you grew up watching that you're like, man, I want to make their kit?
Yeah. I'll go outside of North America here. So that, you know, we don't have any business dealings. dream kit for me. I'm going to go with hearts in Edinburgh, Heart of Midlothian. Absolutely love the colors, love the club. It would be amazing. I think there's a lot of stories to tell there. It's obviously an incredibly historic club. And yeah, it would be a dream for me. I absolutely love their most recent release by Umbro. And yeah, would love to do something with them someday.
That would be sick.
Hearts, glorious hearts. Would love it, yeah. Plus, I'd hope to get a trip back to Edinburgh out of it, and there are very few places in the world that I love more.
Oh man, I didn't even think about that, but I'm assuming you travel a lot, right?
Yeah, we haven't, you know, just starting out, this being the first year of our small little Hummel Pro North America, as a whole group, haven't done a ton of travel. I think we'd like to, you know, the old boots on the ground is the best way to really learn a city, learn a team, learn a people, that sort of thing. So, you know, someday, if we continue on this trajectory and have a budget, hopefully we'll invest in that Hummel Cessna and really start making moves.
But that wasn't even the original question. But you kind of answered through some of these. But like, what designs or designers do you appreciate or get like influence from?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I don't know that there's any, you know, specific designers that I could name. Our group has a number of people within it that are like, you know, finger on the pulse of soccer design. And we have even more people that are finger on the pulse of just apparel design. We have folks that came from every direction of apparel. So really just trying to see what's happening and figure out what the next step ahead of that is, the next innovation is. When it comes to like specific designs that I love, it's tough. Generally speaking, I'm looking at something and thinking, man, like I want to wear that, you know, and right. When I'm designing, that's how I'm designing too. If I'm not going to wear it, I don't know if we should put it on the field. I don't think there's any specific names. You know, I'm a fan of Baroque art, and that, you know, is having a brief moment here in soccer, especially in Italy. But it's small, and there's things we can do with that. But, you know, my personal preference for art does not always translate to kit design. I think it's more just having an eye for what works, what doesn't, that sort of thing.
That's always so funny to me because I teach music for a living, right? And yeah. You know, we talk about Baroque and we talk about the Romantics and stuff like that. Like, that's also music art went through the same time periods around the same time, and always tried to like shoehorn my personal, like, I love this, and I give it to my kids. I'm like, we're going to learn this, and they're like, this is stupid and boring, and I hate you. And it's like, oh, all right.
Oh, I get it. Yeah.
Aren't you middle school too?
Oh, dude, I'm K-3 through 12th grade.
Oh, okay. Jay, yeah,
I teach 3-year-old through 18-year-olds. I go from teaching little kids. I'm like, here's a Moroccan. Don't eat. Don't stop eating it.
Out of your mouth.
And then 5 minutes later, I go into a classroom and here's an 18-year-old. And I'm like, and I'm also, out of your mouth, stop. No, same conversation. I want to hit a couple questions from the chat, and we're going to hit a couple more that we kind of talked about before. Hummel, we talked about Denmark a lot. We've done, you know, they've been doing the Danish kits for a long time, but when you're talking about national team kits, you know, there's some kits, like you have the Danish team, you have your, you have like your English kits, right? You have a lot of these teams that have been around just as long as Hummel, if not longer, who have been wearing the same general kit for a long, long time. The U.S. men's national team obviously been around a long time, but through ebbs and flows of embracing soccer culture, I suppose, there is... It didn't build up the same tradition. Whenever you're trying to make a national kit, how hard is that just kind of put your mind around? Because if you try to tell the story of America, you end up accidentally telling just the story of a region.
Yeah.
And or leaving out a group. Is there a reason why most of them end up bland, or is there a way to do it?
Yeah, I think there's... I think, first of all, with the frequency of new kits these days, you know, annual releases of kits, I think we'll start to see more unique national kits because different stories can be told. Every kit may not need to represent an entire nation, an entire history. And I think that that is a benefit of lots of released kits. There are downfalls to lots of kits, but I think that is one benefit.
There's no downfalls.
I think with my workload, my sleep schedule, those would be about the only downfalls. I would say national kits are tough because national teams, more than even some of the most historic, you know, pro clubs, have a tendency to latch on to some piece of that identity, whether it's a sash or, you know, a blue kit instead of a kit from your nation's colors, or orange for the Netherlands, or whatever design piece it is. Mm-hmm. We talked about it briefly with things like a sash for forward and things of that nature. But I think that national teams truly latch onto those things. And I think it's a good thing. I think you should be able to take the badge off of national team kit and know exactly who it is. And so designing with those things in mind and still being innovative can be really challenging. But again, I think with opportunities to do more kits and try new things, we see more teams taking risks.
Yeah. Which I appreciate.
Yeah. Yeah.
So going back to like a typical club sponsor, because usually national teams don't have sponsors.
Yep.
This is a make or break thing for me with a lot of kits. Is a good sponsor, does it fit with the kit and stuff?
Yeah.
Are there reasons why some kids, like, you know, do they like not allow you to play with their sponsor? Like, this is, it has to be a Toyota with a red freaking box. Or, sorry, I'm a Louisville fan. I get bitter.
But, yeah.
Or like, do some of them allow you to, you know, play with it?
Yeah, for sure. Most brands have a brand standard and require their logos to be in certain colors or on certain backgrounds or have certain treatments. You know, don't put an outline around it, put a box around it, that sort of thing. You've seen it all over the place. Tottenham is still sporting a bright red AIA on their lily white kit, and I couldn't be more perturbed by it. But that's a sponsor requirement, and it's something that they signed in when they signed a contract with AIA. So when the clubs work with these sponsors, first thing we ask when we get assets from a club, be their team logos, their sponsor logos, things like that, is for a brand standard from their sponsor logos, as well as if they've had a conversation with their sponsors about changing colors and what we can do in that regard. I would love for every kit for the first thing you see to be the design and the team badge and not the sponsors. but that's not always the case. And we fully understand that sponsors are a life support for soccer right. clubs, especially in lower league USA.
Soccer clubs
in, sorry, in the largest league in the world.
That's right.
The USL. yes. Apologies. So yeah, we're very mindful and respectful of sponsors. And at the same time, you know, when we get a bright red sponsor that goes on a black kit, and red's not a team color, we design around that and we work it out so that it makes sense.
Say Birmingham.
And isn't distracting. I think it's just part of it. It's part of the soccer culture at this point. It's worldwide. And now it's going into other sports. So they get to figure it out next.
They get the little bitty NBA.
Yeah, they're still doing little ones, but eventually.
Oh, it'll become a thing.
I am one of the people. I feel like I'm a weird kit sicko in the sense I do like the more basic toned down design. But when I see one of the Brazilian kits that have 17 sponsors on it. Yeah. I want it so bad.
Yeah.
I want it so badly.
I gotta tell you, I don't hate it. I don't hate it. I think it's, yeah, Liga MX is famous for being just sponsors. The Scandinavian clubs, it's mostly sponsored. I don't even think they have kit design any longer.
Do they even have a club logo on there?
It's getting smaller. yeah, I mean, there are parts of me that love a sponsor logo, especially as sponsor logos tend to change through an era. So you can see a kit, and first thing you see is a sponsor, you know what era that kit came from. And I don't hate that. I think it's fine. And again, yeah, with sponsors being a life support for clubs, it is an important piece and something that we work to support instead of, you know, work around.
So, you know, a question from chat from Julian again. What's the best part of your job, A? And what is the hardest part of your job? Take it whichever order you would like.
Sure. Yeah, we'll go with the best first. There's very little more rewarding than seeing people like something you did or something that you worked with a club to do, or worked with a collaborator to do, and to see your team succeed with another team and with a team of people. Y'all have done group projects. I don't know if you're still doing group projects in your music class, but knock it off. Group projects are hard, and we're doing really well with working with these clubs. You know, we put these designs onto paper and onto the wall, and but that doesn't come from us. That's working hard with these teams and with other collaborators. And seeing that come to fruition is just the best part of it. I couldn't be happier. You know, I can't tell you how many times I refreshed Legion Twitter on Saturday just to see people enjoying what we put out and to see Legion have success in that small way.
Yeah, appreciate the likes and the retweets and all that good stuff.
Hey, yeah, just go like, retweet, do all of it, and know that I'm watching. the worst part, I mean, man, this is my dream job. You know, it's tough to pick something that is the worst part. Probably just the minutia of, you know, Illustrator and getting everything perfect and. You know, and then sending it off for a final design. That's the worst part. I'll say that. Sending off, saying final design, done, print it, you know, as what some would call an artist, you know, letting that go is super difficult for me. I could work on something for years and still find something to tinker with. So, yeah, I would say you know, letting that baby bird fly is just difficult and not something I love.
Yeah, that's, I can imagine, like, especially when you've been working on this, you know, baby bird, you know, this whole time, you kind of get attached to it, then
yeah.
Now you're just ready for the judge of society to
rain
down on you.
Right. Are we getting the executioner's axe, or are we going to let this bird fly? Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, it's like, it's always one of those things, like, I thought Hummel was supposed to be blank. And it's like, we are, you're just not looking at it right.
Like, yeah,
it's detail.
I've done my very best to not, you know, respond to positive or negative on social media, despite my refreshing of the page. You know, I believe, you know, what we put out explains itself, more than, you know, responding directly to criticism or compliments. I think we at Hummel and the teams that we work with are filing those things away. You know, we're taking note when we see a lot of fans say, like, ah, I don't know about this. This is not something we're big fans of. Great. Now we know that. And I don't get into any fights on Twitter. So positives all around.
I don't either anymore.
Sorry, on X, not Twitter. That's my bad.
If you put it in twitter.com,
so I was on my MySpace the other day, and
you and Tom, I think, are the only ones left.
Yeah, my buddy Tom just chilling.
Tom, I think.
Yeah, I'm his number one.
Tom Costa.
I'm his number one. I'm still his number one. No one can say that.
Very exciting. Still updating your 5 songs on MySpace that really represent how you're feeling today.
It's just a lot of Nickelback.
It's, yeah, Creed and Nickelback. It's fighting for that top spot.
Oh, goodness. So when it comes to working with different, like, leagues,
yeah,
have you noticed, like, there's some leagues that, like, go for it, and then, like, other leagues or anything like that that are maybe more professional and won't let you play as much, or is it just purely team by team?
Yeah, I would say there's definitely a trend towards, you know, the lower on the pyramid a club is, the more risks they're willing to take, because they know it gets them seen on socials and things like that. And as you move up towards USL Championship, things like that, teams are a little more conservative. I wouldn't say that they don't let us do something. It's probably, you know, more to the fact that, you know, they just haven't done it before. And whether that's because a previous kit provider didn't allow for that, or they just didn't have anyone saying, like, this isn't a risk, this is an opportunity.
Ouch.
All right, Michael, the History Channel should be airing a special on MySpace any day now.
Oh, goodness.
I think we're to that era.
Yeah.
To the Cold War, and MySpace should be next.
Unironically, I decided to sign in to MySpace like 3 years ago, and they had an integrated, like, GIF maker that was – and that's all you could use it for. Nothing else worked besides being able to make GIFs. That was,
I remember,
it didn't work.
MySpace being full of the original GIFs, which were just a cursive word with sparkles. That was a whole.
It was word art.
That was a phase of art, which is interesting. But yeah, in terms of back to the original question, where we get more
about
MySpace. Yeah, I wouldn't say it's that clubs further up the pyramid don't let us do something or don't take those risks. I think it's a matter of, you know, not having done that before, wanting to do them while still remaining very professional, and figuring out just how to do that. Sure. So, yeah, I think you'll see more and more interesting things as soccer continues to expand in popularity and as teams, you know, fight to have eyes on. There's only so many ways to do that other than, you know, winning. So we think we're a big piece in getting your club seen and recognized as someone who not only looks good, but looks good for a reason.
I mean, one of the things that really stands out to me with Hummel, and I will also admit to, you know, this is something that I notice a lot when you're talking to a kit provider that isn't one of the, I'll just say, like, big two between your Nikes and your Adidas, right? They are so affordable for it to be a quality kit. And it's a nice, it's a wonderful design. It's similar, if not better material than what you'll buy for like $10 to $40 cheaper. You know, obviously you're not a, I don't think you're a part of the finance committee. Maybe you are. If you are, I don't know.
I avoid that. I sit in the same office, so, you know.
Yeah. But, you know, when you're kind of looking at making something cost efficient while being something that you want to see people wearing around, right? Because a part of making someone's brand noticeable is by making it fashionable. And, you know, balancing money and making it nice while not breaking a budget while still appealing to somebody. How hard is that?
Yeah, it's difficult. And we do our best to keep things priced in such a way that clubs can determine, you know, a price that is still going to be affordable for their fans. We have worked really hard on finding different fabrics this season, especially that not only will be better for the players, especially with some of the clubs in the South that we've been working with that are going to be playing some real warm games this summer. But for the fans too, right? If you buy a jersey and it feels like something you could have picked up at Walmart, you're not going to spend as much as if it's a fabric that you feel like, oh man, the pros are wearing this. So though the price points may, you know, be high to buy a jersey and still with Hummel, you know, again, working hard to keep those lower than some of the other groups. We really want to make sure that when you're holding a jersey, you feel it's worth what that price tag says. And that's where things like fabric, these add-ons, like authentic badges, raised ink, embossing, all kinds of things. And as we go through, part of what we do is just search for new innovations, whatever it might be. We're all over the map when it comes to trying to innovate. So, you know, just today I was trying to figure out how to put LEDs in a jersey, but we're not there yet. But like,
you can start making the MySpace gifts.
There it is. Jersey. There it is.
Love. Love. Circle, cutie.
Cutie. Cutie. It was cutie, I think, a lot. It was a lot of cutie. But yeah, we're trying to make it again so that, you know, if you feel it's expensive, it better be worth it. So those embellishments, whatever they may be, those innovations, we want the teams, the players, the supporters, everyone to feel that it's worth it.
And honestly, I mean, like, I appreciate that as a fan too, because I have a couple like kind of lower league teams. Like, I have a Asheville jersey.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'll be honest, like, the whole thing is simulated, but like, I'm assuming that's what the team wanted as well, but it keeps the price point low, right, for the fans. So like, it's so, right, affordable for me to be able to just kind of pick it up. And like, I, yeah, don't necessarily have to, like, this has the stitching and this has the physical badge. Right. This is actually like a cloth patch. So like, I like this stuff, but like, mm-hmm, I expect this from the Bundesliga.
Right.
I don't necessarily expect it from USL League 2.
And that's the whole process we go through with each club when it comes to embellishments. You know, obviously we're telling them, you know, what that brings price points to, and then trying to find that balance, you know, and a USL 2 club may have a completely different balance than USL Championship, or they may be the same. You know, there are different value points for every club that we work with. So yeah, just finding that balance is key for us to making things affordable. Sorry, that's our office furnace. A little loud. My apologies. It's done now.
Speak more, please. Yeah, let me tell you, you brought up the Asheville City, and okay, there is nothing. My wife lived outside of Asheville, you know, probably about 45 minutes away from Asheville, and the bright red Ingles logo is just burned into my brain. I love Asheville City's stuff. I love what they do. They had just all the stuff they do is just fantastic. But you know, we've have Julian who's talking about the Charleston Battery kits. Last year's away kits with the black trimming on it of just like, I think it was the fencing, right? Like the yeah. metal fencing yep. that's around.
Yeah, within the stripe, correct?
If you've been to Charleston, it's everywhere.
Yeah.
And I showed it to my wife. Yeah. I showed it to my wife. She was like, oh, that's Charleston. She didn't even see the badge. She yeah. knew because she recognized it. And it was just one of those things that I was just like, man, that is just such good design that someone could tell what city it is without reading it.
Yep.
And to me, that's just the sign of a really well-made kit.
Charleston puts out some fantastic kits. They, when working with that club in particular, they have a lot of internal design that we then, you know, collaborate on, which is a great process. They've been fantastic. And I think you all will like some of the stuff they'll be putting out soon.
Love that. Absolutely love that.
Yeah, excited.
Yeah. So when I get it, we're the USL show and we stick with the USL, there's other teams, you know, around the lower league sphere that you guys work with that are mm-hmm. really exciting in terms of what their brand looks like. Like you guys have been with Flower City. Mm-hmm. You guys have been with, you know, Minnesota Aurora, who is in W League. Mm-hmm. You guys are working now with Carolina Core, and I get it, Boo Hiss, MLS Next Pro, blah, whatever. But in the end, like those are fun badges. They are fun colors that you get to work with. When you see teams with fun badge colors, is it just like, does it become like design overload? Like I am just so excited.
Yeah.
Or does it become like, whoa, I don't even know where to take this.
I think more than, you know, seeing the badge and wanting to do something with that design specifically, it's seeing that a club cares for their identity mm-hmm. And has input clip art on a crest and moved on. We curate clubs we work with just as much as we are out there trying to get clubs to sign with us. We want to make sure clubs are in this for the right things and care about what's going on their kits each year and care about what their fans are purchasing. I think obviously I see a great design. I'm like, oh yeah, we can do some cool stuff with this. But more than anything, it's seeing a club put that effort in and knowing that effort, you know, will continue through kits.
Yeah, I completely agree with you sorry to interrupt, Kaylor. But yeah, I was going to say, like, anytime I see a sweet badge, I'm like, oh, they, you know, give a crap.
Yeah, yeah.
So if they have the badge already, like, whoever their kit producer is going to be should, you know, should have a good time with this.
Right.
So it's nice to see when a team, you know, gives a crap.
It is. Yep. And, you know, we're seeing teams pop up left and right. USL2, I think, announced yeah. was it 48 new teams today or something. Slight exaggeration, maybe.
Give or take.
Every single day.
But like you see these things and you're like, oh man, that's fun. Let's get on the phone and see if they're interested.
Oh, Coachella. Do you have Coachella?
I can't speak to Coachella today. Again, I'm in my little corner on Illustrator. Right. So when it comes to the pitches, I leave that to the others.
There was a real moment for me when I saw Coachella pop up, and we had a conversation in our Discord where yeah. like, that's a real place. Oh my that's God, a it's a real place.
Yeah, I had a moment of that too. We talked internally about starting, you know, an electric forest or you know, maybe a fire festival.
There we go. Fire festival.
Fire Fest FC. I mean, that's just how could it go wrong?
defeaters.
It's fun seeing these clubs pop up, and you know, we know, having worked with so many clubs now, that running a soccer club is not easy, and it's not cheap. Yeah. And we want to do everything we can in our partnership to be there for the club, to work with the club, work with the club's collaborators, and you know, help them get somewhere, you know, where they're not losing money. They're on the other side of that. So that it's important to us. We know it's hard out there.
You're a Ford Madison person based out of Madison, Wisconsin. And I'm going to ask this, and I don't mean the exact rivalry, but I'm speaking more to the general idea of derbies, right?
Yeah.
Madison has one of the coolest and most unique derbies in the world with the Henny Derby, between Richmond and, you know, Ford Madison themselves. Has there ever been a moment, or just kind of pitching to a team, not necessarily Ford Madison and whatnot, but of saying, hey, what about a one-off derby kit? Like, say, like, make the occasion even more special with a special kit. Maybe not exactly that one, but, you know, has that been conversations that you've had with teams before?
Yeah, I wouldn't say specifically that one, but we have talked about more specific, you know, event-based kits, one-offs, things like that. You know, you run the risk of being called, you know, Kit FC when you put out a bunch of kits every year. But if they're good kits, that name calling is coming from the other side of the derby, and everyone else is wearing the jersey. So we're all about one-offs, special events. You know, especially when it comes to pre-match, we think that's a great opportunity to really sort of spread your wings, and it's a good way for clubs to feel out, you know, what doing something a little more out there feels like and how that's received. But yeah, I mean, a derby kit, I love it. And I think there's a lot of opportunity there, especially if you know, Hummel finds its way into being on both sides of a derby.
Oh, that'd be cool.
the old Mac from Always Sunny. I'm playing both sides, so I come out. but yeah, I think there's a lot of fun you can have there, and I think, you know, the derbies in USL are just that. They're a lot of fun. The Henny Derby is amazing. It's two amazing supporter groups that really take center stage over the teams, I think, in that derby.
I have two more questions, unless there's a follow-up to an answer, of course. First comes from Orange and Black Soccercast, our friends out in Irvine,
yes,
California. That one always confuses me. I always get scared before I say it. How do you feel about sublaminated crest versus ironed on crest?
Yeah, I think we touched on that a little bit earlier in terms of cost. I think there's a time for both sublimated and for iron-on or 3D print or, you know, rubberized. There's, you know, dozens of ways to put a badge on these days. My personal preference, if I'm wearing a kit and I've spent the money on it, give me a badge. Give me a badge I can feel, you know, on my chest and isn't just sublimated. But at the same time, I, you know, love seeing a detailed crest fully sublimated and being represented as it is for a club that, you know, doesn't have the cash to shell out on rubberized or raised badges of some sort. Stitched is, you know, it's amazing. I think it's great. I think it works well with especially classic badges when legibility may not be as key. I have an old Hearts jersey that, you know, you can barely tell what that badge says, but you know what it is. But yeah, things like that are really case by case.
So I've been trying to do what I can to keep up with who Hummel is with and whatnot. And last time I checked, I don't think you guys are with anybody who is going to be in USL Super League. I know you have several W League, but I don't think you have any Super League teams. But that is going to be running on the European schedule. Mm-hmm. You've talked about working with teams in the South and making sure they don't die from a heat stroke. When you're looking at playing in this European schedule and having to deal with the cold, right? What kind of, how does that change your job, both in finding materials to keep people from freezing and also just like, you know, finding ways to have kits stand out, say in the snow, if it's in the middle of the, in the middle of the winter, how do you balance all that?
Everybody in orange.
Right. We're doing just parkas on the pitch. That's what we're calling it, parkas on the pitch. In team colors.
That's my new brand.
And it's going to be fur hoods. And that's it. Yeah, that's the plan. Now, a lot of what we do, you know, everyone sees this layer. You know, they're seeing this. But a lot of what we do is making sure that sublayers are really what the team needs. And specifically that the colors match. I might change my previous answer about the hardest part. And getting colors to match across different fabrics and things is a slog. And it's something that we take super seriously and want to make sure that we nail down. And I think part of that and putting that effort in, you know, when it comes to winter, where it's going to be even bigger than it is now, because those sub layers stick out even further when they're long sleeve. You know, obviously we can do kits in long sleeves, all of that. So that's all part of it. I'm excited for the Super League. I can't speak to whether or not we have signed or are speaking with any Super League teams. But it's an exciting prospect. I'm excited for it to come, especially here in Madison, where I'm at. I'll be a fan first.
Is it cold in there?
It gets a little chilly. You heard it's actually warm today, but you heard the furnace for a moment there. We're having a heat wave at the moment. So
I'm just south of you, down in Missouri, and
okay,
it's 60 degrees. It was fantastic.
Yeah, I think we had 40 today, and there were t-shirts abound. So. that's part of it too. I think the fans will deal with the winter differently than some of the players that may be coming from, say, Central America. Winter feels a bit different here. Some of the like USL players are starting to report. USL One players are reporting, and every year there's always some weather shock for the players when they get off the plane. So we try to make sure they get some cheese curds to stay warm.
Oh, man. Oh, that reminds me. From where my friend lives in Minneapolis, there is a Packers bar like a block away from his house or from his apartment. And they sell the best cheese curds I've ever had in my life. Every now and then, I just think about them.
As a Wisconsinite, I'm always thinking about cheese curds a little bit. So, well, that never goes away.
Well, unless Fox, you have any more questions, Mark, do you have anything that you want to explicitly just kind of talk about with designs or anything possibly in the works? No, obviously no. Spoilers,
yeah, we've got a lot of releases coming up real quick here. So, you know, keep an eye on everything. Spotted Cow cannot be, those state lines are very specific on Spotted Cow. No, we've got a lot of really fun stuff coming out that I think a lot of people are going to really like. I can't speak to many of them as they haven't been released. But yeah, in terms of, you know, just general poking and prodding, you know, what, I guess, you know, you guys running this kit podcast, what do you want to see from a kit? Like, what's an innovation that, you know, a piece that you feel elevates or would be new or should be brought back, whatever it might be?
I mean, everything that I love about kids is what you all do already, in a sense. One thing that we always make sure is when we're judging a kit is one of the sections is community. Like, does it match the badge or does it match the community? And I can think of one that didn't come through well for Hummel, but otherwise, like 99% is always yes. And then the other thing is always creativity. 99% is always yes. So like, I don't know. I mean, I really like this kid specifically with the, the reflective coloring, but tall collars. There we go.
Look, as a fan, I'll put on a tall collar any day. But we also have to make sure the players want to wear it. And I can tell you, many players don't love a tall collar.
How do players feel about collars in general? Because we've had this Discord conversation.
Yeah, and collars is tricky. I think on the right kit, they look great. On the wrong kit, they're atrocious. And I think it's a difficult line to toe with players. Generally want just the smallest jersey they can wear with nothing bothering them. Honestly, I think, you know, players when they're, you know, between the lines probably want a fully sublimated kit, nothing but mesh, white if it's hot out. but at the same time, players want to be proud of what they're wearing. Yeah. So that's a balance we've got to hit. And then, you know, we look at sales figures too. We're candid with teams when we say we think collars sell to a specific group of people, but may not be a winner overall. Yeah, I mean, I think a kit nerd is going to buy a collar, but I think you see that a general populace may not. Unless it hits, unless it's something that, you know, is a complement to the design. You know, maybe a faux back is a perfect place to put a collar, something like that. But yeah, it's I love a collar. I don't know about an Elvis collar. I'm worried that if I put the Elvis collar on, I'll have to hire a voice coach to lose the accent. But yeah, it's fun deep things like V's. That. the deeper the V, the better. Yeah, I mean,
I think Pele did it. Extra capital V.
I love a long sleeve goalkeeper jersey. Again, yeah, I think
that's where I was.
We see more goalkeepers preferring short sleeve. You know, maybe the Super League starts to change that a little bit because of weather. Yeah. I'm a sucker for tradition when it comes to a goalkeeper. It should be loud. It should be long sleeved. But again, we're working with teams and with players and with coaches and with design trends. And are mindful of those things.
So when you talk about like what we would like to see, long sleeve GK jerseys, don't get me wrong, I do love me a short sleeve. Like I loved the Greenville Triumph, and I know that was the Palmetto. I loved that. Yeah, the Selenauts community cultures and unexpected places are great. The biggest thing that I always look for in a kit is, I love continuity and stuff. Like you talk about people grow attached to the sash, right? Mm-hmm. This is me. This is my personal thing. I'm a Birmingham Legion fan. I talk about that a good bit on the show, maybe too much.
That's why he loves red kits.
I hate the red kit. If the three sparks aren't on it, I don't buy it. I have every single kit that the three sparks are on, and there are one or two that don't have the three sparks on it, and I don't own them.
Yeah,
because it has to have the three sparks. And for me, it's knowing the continuity. Like, yes, the Lady Electra has the three sparks. You have the Union Omaha. If there's the Volt on it, I love when there's continuity with Volts, like the colors or any team, if they have a continuous piece that always shows up,
yeah,
I love it. Yeah. That is what I want from, like, I want to see a piece come back from every single team. So, like you said, if you rip the badge off, I can tell you which team it is. That's what I always look for in a kit.
Yeah, I think you nailed it. We want to see kits that the fans recognize as their own, and can recognize it, you know, if they cover this part up. I think, you know, even more broadly speaking, especially with Hummel's 100th year last year, we saw the Hummel brand really bring elements across their clubs, especially in Europe. We saw the Denmark half and half everywhere, right? And where that may not have been a team element for those teams, a brand element was important as well. There's a history to Hummel. There's a history to the things that they fought for and stood for, and being able to bring those pieces to clubs, not just, you know, in a way that is highlighting Hummel, because go Hummel, this badge is more important than this badge. It's because we want those teams to feel the history of Hummel and be a part of this group. It's a partnership. There's a back and forth, and you know, those things are important to us. So really working with those teams, bringing them into the fold and making them feel like, hey, you're part of something large now. And it's not just us slapping a logo on there. It's really bringing you into the fold.
Beautiful, man. I don't know if there's a whole lot more to really go over, but I mean, it's been a blast. I have learned a whole lot over just kind of the kit design and just kind of Hummel itself. Like, I knew a lot about Hummel because I did research before this, and whenever we talked to Kuba, I was trying to learn as much as I can, but yeah. Like, there's so much in there that, you know, hearing it said versus just seeing it read is just so much different. And then I walk away from this with a whole different perspective on just like kit design and like standing for something and not just wearing something. It's been a fun chat, man.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Yeah. I think as a takeaway, you know, standing for something is one of the big ones. That and that, you know, we are working on these designs with clubs, not for clubs. Many of the times clubs are leading it 100%. All of the time we are letting the clubs lead that and making sure that they're the voice that comes out in these kits.
Yeah. And that's what needs to be done. You know, it's not just, you know, okay, here's page 4. You can select one of these.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I can make a million cool patterns, but if that pattern doesn't mean something to your club, it's a template. And that's how I like to design. And I think how Hummel wants to operate.
Love it. Well, hey, listen, to everybody who watched along, we had a whole lot of fun. For the first time, by the way, we are streaming this to the Protagonist YouTube account. So if you are joining us from Protagonist and was like, yeah, I've never seen this video before, I should have mentioned this more than 1 hour and 7 minutes in, but hi.
Welcome. But, we're done.
But yeah, it's been an absolute blast. Again, we want to thank our patrons. Again, next week, the brand new show is coming out. We are so excited for it. And again, thank you. Big thank you to Prime Focus Goalkeeping. Hey, if you want to learn from a champion of the biggest league in the world and you're in the Carolinas, this is the guy, Brandon Miller. Go to www.primefocusgoalkeeping.com. And while you're at it, while you're on the old, you know, internet trying to search some things up, how about you check out at Hummel USA on the x/twitter.com 280 character bird app,
and Instagram as well. Jump on there.
Instagram as well.
Check out all the things. Our MySpace is active, but you can try.
I mean,
you can make sure
Hummel might be my. I would say that I will make Hummel my number one, but me and Tom have something special and more nice.
My wife would be mad. It's one of those.
Well, listen, we appreciate you, Mark, and we appreciate everybody in the chat. Thank you so much. And yeah, check out Orange and Black.
Hey, yeah, maybe a trip to Orange County is on the books. I missed the recent convention out in Anaheim, so maybe I can
book make it.
Orange County.
And, you know, you must be popular because they never invited me to nothing.
I'm pretty sure that SoccerCast here is inviting me to try to get a leak.
Right.
No, he would never. He wouldn't do that.
Like, but while you're here, here's my design book.
Hey, we'll always take a fan's design book. That's gold.
Well, thank you all so much for listening. This has been a ton of fun. Next 2 weeks, we have two other kit designers coming on. This is the first of our 3-week kind of series on designers, nowhere else we'd rather start than at Hummel USA with Mark Crosby. Thank you so much, man.
Yeah, thank you all. Great being here.
Yeah, we appreciate you.
And we appreciate you all so much for listening. And until next time, guys, it has been the USL Show presenting Kit Season. See you guys hopefully next week. Bye.